SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 16th of May, 2024. The Australian share market had a stellar day today, up by 1.7%. We'll have the details with Chris Weston from Pepperstone. But first, to Australia's unemployment rate, which rose from 3.9% to 4.1% in April, lifting the chance that the next move in interest rates will be down. For more, I spoke with Diana Messina, a senior economist at AMP. Diana, at 4.1%, the unemployment rate is already above what the RBA and Treasury expected it to be in June at 4%. So does this increase the chance that the next move in interest rates will now be down and not up?
Well, the fact that the unemployment rate is sitting at 4.1%, a bit earlier than Treasury and RBA forecasts, does increase the risk that we get a sooner interest rate cut. And that's what the market has moved to price in. Before, we saw the market pricing in the chance of a rate cut by around May of next year, and they brought that forward after the jobs data. So it's somewhere around November or December now. Although that probably also follows the lead from what happened in the US overnight. I don't think it's just jobs related. The issue, though, is that the movements in the unemployment rate have been a bit volatile in Australia in the past few months. If you remember, we had the unemployment rate reaching 4.1% in January, and then it was revised down in February by a significant amount. So we're back to that cyclical high. But the ABS in today's release said there was a larger share of people than usual who said they had a job to go to, but they weren't at that job yet, so they were technically unemployed. And I think that that just increases the risk that we may actually see the unemployment rate revised down again next month. So there's a lot of volatility in these job numbers. And that's why I think the RBA is paying more attention to the broad suite of labour market indicators, not just the unemployment rate.
Let's break some of the numbers down. Still, a record 13.4 million people are in work. That's up 38,500 in the month. Is that enough, though, to keep up with population growth?
The inflow into the working age population is increasing by about 60,000 people a month, which is huge for Australia. That's at around a record high. When you convert that into participation rate, you need about 40,000 people being employed every month just to keep the unemployment rate unchanged. But that's if the participation rate is also unchanged. So this is why jobs growth is still likely to probably, you know, look pretty good, 20, 30, potentially even 40,000 on average, but why the unemployment rate can still drift up even if you have positive jobs growth. You don't necessarily need to see a big fall in jobs growth to see the unemployment rate rise from here, because we do have this big inflow of workers into our working age population every single month.
What kind of other indicators, though, are pointing to a weaker jobs market, if so?
There's many indicators that are pointing to a weakening in the jobs market. I wouldn't say a collapse in jobs growth or in the labour market indicators, but we're seeing some slowing in job advertisements, although they are still higher than before the pandemic. We're seeing a decline in business hiring intentions, as they're reporting in the business surveys. The number of job applicants per advertised job is also going up, according to SEEK, which is an indicator that the labour market is becoming less tight. Underemployment and underutilisation are increasing, which means that people want to work more hours than they are. Hours worked is down compared to a year ago. And the youth unemployment rate has also increased a lot more than the unemployment rate. So there are actually quite a large number of indicators that are pointing to a further slowing in jobs growth from here, which is why most people are forecasting the unemployment rate to go higher.
Okay, so how would you describe the jobs market then? Is it still relatively tight? Because as you mentioned, it's not that, while there is some bad news in there, it's not all just bad, right?
The labour market is moving from one that has been ultra tight to one that's loosening a bit. I would still say that the labour market, though, is relatively tight. When you look at the number of job vacancies that are available relative to the number of people who are unemployed, they are still high relative to pre-pandemic levels. So the pandemic has resulted in this structural shift in the labour market where more people can access a job than they could have before, which is why we've seen the participation rate go to a record high. The flexibility of the workforce has changed as well, so more people are able to be employed. So we're still we are still seeing pretty good labour market conditions. They're just loosening from an ultra tight level.
A few days post budget, how do these numbers work in with the government support measures like tax cuts and rebates?
Well, our view was that despite the fact that we are going to get these rebates from the government, that the government has increased its spending in the forward years according to the budget, that we're going to get these tax cuts from the 1st of July, this additional income for people will actually be offset by the fact that the unemployment rate is rising. So I think that the jobs data for April sort of confirms this, that we shouldn't really worry that the budget is going to be inflationary because you have all these other offsetting factors that will depress consumer incomes at a time that you're getting these rebates come through. So that's why our view is that inflation is still going to drop by the end of this year and why the Reserve Bank will ultimately be cutting interest rates by the end of 2024.
Okay. And speaking of the Reserve Bank, how does all of this, in particular the jobs market, reflect the challenges the RBA is having in achieving that so-called narrow path?
So the Reserve Bank has always been quite adamant that they want to preserve the gains in the jobs market whilst raising interest rates. And they've done a good job of that so far. The unemployment rate has only increased marginally relative to how interest rates have moved up. So in some ways, the Reserve Bank will be looking at this jobs data thinking, well, it's sort of in line with our expectations because they think that the unemployment rate will rise. They've got a peak of about 4.4%, although that doesn't happen until sometime next year. And then on the other hand, I suppose they'd be thinking, well, we don't want the unemployment rate to rise too much because that would be a bad environment if we've still got high inflation and a rising unemployment rate. So for the Reserve Bank for the next meeting, I think that the broad suite of data that we had sort of indicates to them, well, there's absolutely no need to hike interest rates again. A rate hike probably shouldn't even be on the agenda at the board meeting, I think, because you don't want to be hiking interest rates at a time that the unemployment rate is moving up and that the indicators on inflation, they're looking okay, especially the wages data that we had this week was actually softer than expected, which is good news for services inflation.
That's Diana Messina there from AMP.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market actually had its best day so far this year. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.7%, 7,881. It follows a rally on Wall Street overnight. And with the details, I spoke with Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepperstone. Chris, US inflation down from 3.5% annually to 3.4%. Run us through what it says about the US economy and the implication for US interest rates.
Well, I mean, we've had three fairly problematic inflation reads in the US, and this is the first one that we've seen for a while that's sort of rounding on a month-to-month basis on core to 0.3 of 1%. So there's a bit of relief coming through in markets. If you have a look at shelter and rents, that sort of dissipated. And, you know, things were looking a bit more problematic on the services side, but prices are sort of moderating again. I certainly think the Federal Reserve will be welcoming of the report we saw. Certainly the market's taken that rate hikes are firmly off the table, and we need to be having a discussion about potential rate cuts in the US coming through in September. That's kind of when the market's expecting them, although it does seem a little bit early given that the Fed have never cut rates in the meeting before a US election. So they seem pretty comfortable with that. But look, I think we are seeing a clear cooling in the US. The labour market seems to be cooling. Jobless claims are moving higher. We saw a dissipation in the payrolls last time. Retail sales were quite poor. It seems consumption seems to be coming down. So the US growth situation is still positive, but it is clearly moderating and it's clearly coming down, which should allow the Federal Reserve to cut rates either in September. I'm probably more in the December camp at the moment.
That's US rates, right? The Australian share market went on a tear today, mirroring what happened in the US. How much of that have we seen a change of sentiment in terms of expectations for the movement of interest rates in Australia? Because over the past month or so, we saw more and more people, or the money markets anyway, predicting rate rises to in Australia. Mm. Has that changed now?
Yeah, absolutely it's changed. I mean, it's changed almost full circle. It's been pretty dramatic, to be fair. You know, I think only beginning of the month, there was a very sort of this hawkish anticipation that the RBA were going to be looking to hike rates by 25 basis points in September. That was almost fully priced into interest rate futures. Now, what we're seeing is there has been some cooling of data, certainly on the labour market today, where we are seeing increased slack in the labour market. You know, growth is going to be coming down to trend, and certainly that's the budget forecast as well. And suddenly we've got a situation where we're saying to ourselves in September, there could be a 50% chance, or that's what's being implied, of a rate cut. And so the story has come through. So the data is still okay. But what we're seeing now is the market saying all those hawkish bets, all those bets that we were going to see rate hikes have completely come off. And actually now the conversation is more, should we have cuts? And I think that's resembling and coming through in the stock market. I mean, REITs are absolutely flying today. Banks are doing pretty well. Have a look at CBA. I mean, CBA's all-time highs now, new highs coming through in this run, and looks really, really strong. Discretionary stocks, consumer stocks are absolutely flying. So this idea that a rate hike is off the table and actually we should be talking about cuts as our clearer skew is really moving the market, and we're outperforming the Nikkei, Japan and Hong Kong and other markets as well. So yeah, it's a question really now if whether we get new all-time highs in the stock market.
How's all of this being reflected in the currency markets?
Well, we haven't seen too much reaction in the Aussie. We have seen some downside in the Aussie. It's one of the underperforming in the region, but it's not really dropping off a cliff. What we have seen is in the bond market, we've seen really, really good buyers, as you'd imagine when you see slightly weaker data. We are seeing really, really good buyers. And one would expect the Aussie to have fallen further than we are seeing today. As I say, the region's underperformer, but we're not seeing it step off cliff. There are other things that are working for the Australian dollar, not just interest rate expectations. We're still expecting the RBA to be on hold for most this year. That's my personal view. Chinese markets are doing quite nicely. Obviously, everyone's been talking about the really strong gains we're seeing in copper and some of the terms of trade. So there are other things that are working out for the Australian dollar, but we are seeing some modest sellers against certain currencies. Certainly against the yen, there's been a bit of an underperformance there.
I'm glad you mentioned the yen, because it's the last thing I wanted to ask you about, especially given on a consumer side, more and more Australians are travelling to Japan now. Japan's economy contracted in the first quarter. What does that say about the nation, its plan for higher interest rates, and its currency? Because as I mentioned, Aussies are travelling to Japan now in droves.
Yeah, and they should continue to do so, because the Aussie yen is still very, very strong. If you're thinking about going away for in the next 6 months, maybe hedge some of that hedge some of that currency out, because it's still very, very good and very attractive rates that are on play. But I think at the moment, the Japanese economy in the first quarter was obviously far weaker than what a lot of people have been anticipating, and we can put that down fair and squarely to existential events in the New Year's Day earthquake, which obviously has taken some of the wind out of the sails in the quarter. We are expecting better times ahead from a growth perspective. And look, a lot of what we've seen has really been around wage increases. I think the Japanese economy is far better than what this GDP number, the 2% decline is, and has really shown. But that said, I think, we are going to see interest rate hikes coming through in Japan. Not anytime soon. I think we're probably looking one more sort of July, August time before we see another one coming through. Maybe another sort of 10 basis point hike later this year. But yeah, I mean, I think the Aussie yen cross has had a very, very strong move over a large, medium to longer term. And we expect pullbacks to be fairly shallow. But if you want certainty about going to Disneyland out there, then these are still very, very good rates to be changing currency out.
That's Chris Weston there from Pepperstone.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.